I'm sure most of you have heard me talk to Dr. Keith Suter about the signatory of the Rome Statute, basically the International Criminal Court, which has to answer to the Rome Statute, has issued a warrant for the arrest of Vladimir Putin on the basis of him committing war crimes. So the war crime charges that have been brought by the ICC back in March are now fueling speculation that this bloke could face arrest if he decides to take an overseas trip to a country that recognises the warrant that's been issued by the ICC. And one of those countries is South Africa. Problem? Yes, because coming up later on in August is the BRICS summit. What's the BRICS summit? Well, BRICS is an acronym for five regional important economies: Brazil, Russia, India, China, and yes, folks, South Africa. And normally, Vladimir Putin would go to this really important regional economic summit, the BRICS summit, B-R-I-C-S. And there are reports this week that are suggesting that the South African government may actually seek some sort of a bypass to its obligations to the ICC and grant diplomatic immunity to Vladimir Putin to allow him to attend this summit. If by some chance his plane is forced to land in a country that recognises the war crime charges and the warrant for his arrest handed out by the International Criminal Court, the guy's in a lot of trouble. It's just interesting to watch the fall from grace that Vladimir Putin is now experiencing. And you've got to ask the question, Thomas, you've got to ask the question, if his senior advisors and senior military advisors, his generals, etc., can see that internationally their leader is losing massive international face because of the war with Ukraine, are they going to be now extra motivated to stop him? Anyway, I thought we'd discuss this really important matter with our expert on international affairs, Dr. Keith Suter, the managing director of the International Ideas Bank, and he is also the man behind the podcast on the Lister app called Global Truths. And he joins me on the phone right now, Dr. Keith Suter. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, so will Putin risk it and take the trip? That's the question everyone's asking.
Exactly. So the background to this is that there is a Treaty of Rome, which has created the International Criminal Court, and Australia is a member of that International Criminal Court. And in March of this year, the International Criminal Court said that Vladimir Putin should be arrested and put on trial in The Hague as a result of the crimes being committed in Ukraine. And so he is thinking of attending this major international gathering. So as you said, it's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And there'll be a lot of other diplomats there. This is the new power grouping. This is the power grouping which is going to replace some of the domination that the Western countries have had. So it's a major conference being hosted, as I say, this year in Cape Town in South Africa. And so Putin wants to be there. It's a major opportunity for him to, you know, live it large on the international scene. The problem is that South Africa is governed by that same Treaty of Rome and is obliged to arrest him and then transport him to The Hague. Now, the South Africans are considering whether or not to suspend somehow the Treaty of Rome's application in South Africa for the purposes of allowing Putin to arrive. But Putin's other complication is that if he were to fly straight from Moscow to Cape Town, it'll be a Russian plane, obviously, there is a risk that it could land, for example, have engine trouble. Remember, the Russians are now being hindered by sanctions, so important bits of technology are not going into Russia at the moment. So the Russians Russian plane might have to land in a third country, that could be a member of the International Criminal Court. This is the same problem that Henry Kissinger's got.
Wow.
See, he's not wanted by the International Criminal Court. He's not been formally charged. But his worry is that he could end up in a country that would arrest him. We went through something similar years ago in Great Britain when the dictator of Chile, General Pinochet, had gone to Britain for medical treatment. And the Spanish said to Britain, we want to arrest him for the crimes committed in Chile.
Mm.
And so for a moment, it looked as though he was going to end up in a Spanish jail rather than being allowed to go back to Chile after he had had his medical procedure.
Keith, got a question for you. If the South African government does bypass its obligations to the ICC and they grant him some sort of diplomatic immunity, does that immunity override any warrant that may have been issued?
Well, it will do, obviously, in South Africa. But if the plane has to come down in a third country, it won't apply.
Yeah.
So that's, you see, this is very humiliating for him. Putin in the past has humiliated other leaders. You know, one of his favorite tricks is to keep them waiting. And he did this with Angela Merkel, Donald Trump, the American president, and Pope Francis. And so he just keeps them waiting until he then showed up. So this is his way of trying to show off how powerful he is, that he has all these VIPs waiting for him to arrive. Now, he's a much more humbler figure because he's now on the run, so to speak. And so it's very risky for him to travel outside of Russia. So he went to China and got back safely. But that was before, of course, the war in Ukraine. Otherwise, he isn't travelling very much outside of Russia and its immediate allies.
You've got to wonder, this reduced status that Putin is now experiencing, how does that, do you think, Keith, play on the minds of his generals and the other high-ranking people within Russia that want this conflict with Ukraine to stop?
I think it's an important question. I think that there would be a lot of senior Russians saying, look, we've now got a bit of a dud for a leader. This invasion of Ukraine in February of last year was one of the biggest political miscalculations we've seen in recent years. And they must be wondering about whether or not they should remain so loyal to Putin. The problem is that even if they have doubts, they're not allowed to express those doubts publicly for fear of those people getting arrested as well, or subject to surprise deaths. It's amazing how many of Putin's opponents have gone out of windows, for example.
Yeah,
there seem to be a lot that die in mysterious circumstances, and there'd be a lot of generals who might have the same concerns.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Keith, just one quick question, and bringing it back to Australia and China, we, as you and I have said, we saw our Prime Minister make addresses in Singapore recently, and also in South Korea, and Vietnam. Obviously sending a message to China, but Keith, in your opinion, how close are we here in Australia to renewing our normal trade relationship with China?
We're gradually going that way. I think the Chinese have realised they behave badly in sort of severing the connections with Australia, although they continue to buy our coal and iron.
Mm-hmm.
So they cut off the red wine and
the lobsters.
And barley. Lobster. they did that, but it really hasn't worked out very well for them or their Chinese consumers. But the problem is the Chinese have put themselves into a corner, and we've got to get them out of that corner without them losing face.
That's the thing.
That's the problem.
Exactly. How do we say to China, it's okay, but you still have hand in the whole thing? You haven't lost face, but... I know. And so we have China, which is a great threat to Taiwan, and our relationship with China as we strengthen our military and naval forces in that area. And yet we still say to them, look, we want to trade with you.
But what we're also doing, don't forget, and we saw that in the Prime Minister's speech in Vietnam, is that we want to build up links with Vietnam. Vietnam has its own suspicions about China and, like us, is divided as to how you treat China. On the one hand, they're worried that in China that you could end up with a clash between Vietnam and China, for example, over the South China Sea. But at the same time, there are these fraternal links between the Chinese Communist Party and the Vietnamese Communist Party. So the Vietnamese know exactly how the Australians feel, because they're in a similar sort of dilemma when it comes to handling China.
But you look at the army and the navy that Japan is now amassing.
Yep. And that's, and this, of course, adds to the paranoia inside China. But, of course, the Chinese are bringing this on themselves. They've got a huge army, and they're also developing a huge navy, and they've not had a huge navy for centuries.
That's right.
So they are making their own neighbours nervous.
Mm.
So they're bringing some of this upon themselves.
It's interesting times. Dr. Keith, thank you for educating us and informing us. We look forward to our next chat.
Thank you.